So anyhow, but that was some good singing tonight. I appreciate the choir, and man, what a blessing it is always to come to church and listen to them sing. I enjoy listening to my youngins sing, and I'm proud of them for getting involved in ministry here. And I am so grateful for that, but I'm also grateful for everybody that comes and makes Calvary what it is, and it's awesome, and I appreciate each and every one of you. I sent out a text message to quite a few people about not this coming Sunday, but the next. If you are interested in that, if you replied to me that you are interested in that, we'll have a meeting right after church. I'm just going to tell you what's going on. It's no practice or anything as far as right now. But I'm just going to give you an idea of what the plan is for that third Sunday. And man, we're excited about what God did this past Sunday. And I think Dalton ended up somewhere around 15 or 16 visitor cards or families that were represented in that. And I know for a fact we missed several, and because I followed up with several families that I knew were here as first-time visitors, and they did not fill out a card, and we missed them on that. Well, we didn't miss them. How many of y'all know this? Sometimes people just avoid you, all right? But we did our best to try to follow up on that as well. But anyhow, I am thankful for this past week, and it was just a start. So of a three-week series, this week will be good. Next week will be good. I'm real excited about it and the way the Lord has laid it out. So we want you to come be a part of that Sunday. Invite somebody to come. If they weren't able to make it last week for Neighbor Day, they'll catch right up into the story this week. And man, it'll be good. And we'd love for them to be here. But like I said, if I text you and you can help me out with that, I would greatly appreciate it. And we'll meet in the Miss Lucy Sunday School class back there because they will have practice tonight following the service. So, all right, let's get into this thing. We've been talking about rebuilding the walls. We've been in a series for 2 weeks now. This will be the third week, and of course we're going to look at Nehemiah. So find your Bible, Nehemiah. It's right before the book of Job, and you can get into that. Right before Esther, excuse me. But if you can find Job and Psalm, you can flip back a few books, and you'll be right there in Nehemiah. We'll be in chapter number 2 at the very end of it, and into chapter number 3. Now, when we get into chapter number 3, I'll read a couple of key verses in there maybe or something. I ain't going to promise that I'm going to read a whole lot in there because it gets into a whole lot of names. All right, and I need everybody to look up here at me, all right? I don't know what they were thinking when they were naming their kids back then, but life would have been so much easier if they would have just named their kids Jim and Bob and Harry and stuff like that, all right? We have some issues in there, and so we'll even talk about one of them tonight. But we're going to take a look at rebuilding the wall, and we have dealt with several things already concerning that. We talked about the burden Nehemiah had to do so in chapter number 1. And I was sharing that Brother Billy Woods, many of y'all remember him from our marriage conferences, but Brother Billy Wood called me today, and we got to talking about he's fixing to start a series in the book of Nehemiah, or either he decided to today, I don't know. But anyhow, I got to sharing some things with him, and man, we got to talking on the phone for over an hour today about Nehemiah and different things. But anyhow, I have been real excited about it. Nehemiah was a prayer warrior. We want to remember that. If we're going to build walls in our own lives, it's going to be done with a foundation of prayer. And he did that starting in the first chapter. The Bible gives us a date of when the book was started, when the first mention of Jerusalem being torn down came to the ears of Nehemiah. And then in chapter number 2, we're told that he was standing before the king, and it was 4 months later. So 4 months he had labored in prayer over his burden to build the walls back, and given an opportunity in chapter number 2 by King Artaxerxes, which was the king of Persia. He opened up, and the Bible says that he gave him the opportunity, said, "What can I do?" The king did, And Nehemiah, once again, the Bible says he prayed unto God. That was a quick prayer, though, because he had already made preparations, and so he gave an answer to the king. And the king, of course, his heart was turned, and we know that God is the only one that can do that, because in the book of Ezra just 13 years prior to this, they tried to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and this same king stopped the building because of the reputation of Jerusalem. I don't know that I pointed this out last week, but as Nehemiah asked King Artaxerxes about going and rebuilding the walls, he never mentioned Jerusalem. He called it the city of his fathers, and then he said, please allow me to go to Judah. He never mentioned Jerusalem, all right? Not enough commentators talk about this, but I think old Nehemiah was being very smart. And this king had already disallowed the building of the walls of Jerusalem because of the reputation of Jerusalem being a rebellious city. And so instead of antagonizing the king or even presenting it in such a manner where the king may get upset about it, Nehemiah just called it the city of his fathers and then later said, if you would allow me to go to Judah, which of course we know is where Jerusalem is located. When we get into this scripture, and like I said, I won't be reading all of chapter number 3, but as you read chapter number 3, just a cool little nugget that's in there, it talks about the broad wall. If you are going with us to Israel in March, all right, you will get to see the broad wall that is mentioned right here in the book of Nehemiah. They have uncovered it, and you will get to see it. I remember it is very, very, I'm telling you, it's cool. It's a big old wall, wide enough that a chariot and horses could run on top of it, all right? But they have uncovered this as in their dig findings, and so we'll go by that. We will actually see that. You'll get to lay eyes on that, of something that's mentioned right here in Nehemiah chapter number 3 that God has preserved throughout time for us to enjoy. And so if you're not going to Israel with us, why not? All right, let's get started in this thing, all right? All right, so we'll go into chapter number 2, and we'll read in verse number 17. We'll start this thing. Actually, let me move on up in that. Let me go up to verse number 12, all right? And so we can get our eyes and get our minds back on Scripture. In Nehemiah chapter number 2 and verse number 12, mind you, let me give you a little background. Nehemiah has already gone. He's already left King Artaxerxes. He had letters where he could cross over and not be hindered at all. He also had letters to Asaph, which was the keeper of the king's timber. And so he was able to come in the king's forest, and he was able to get the materials that he needed to rebuild the walls in Jerusalem. Now, at this point, he is in Jerusalem, all right? He has already made it to Jerusalem, all right? He's been there about 3 days. The Bible says this in verse number 12, and I arose in the night, and I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. Now, what he's basically saying is he has arrived in Jerusalem, but he has yet to share his burden, and he has yet to share what God wants him, and God has given him the liberty to do, and that's rebuild the walls. But the first thing Nehemiah does upon getting to Jerusalem is he's going out on a survey trip, all right? And this is what it's talking about here in this verse. He goes out privately with just a few men, and he goes and he looks at the work. All right, and this is where we're at in Scripture, all right? Matter of fact, it's my first point, and I called it the examination. If you want to write that down, we'll come back to that in a few moments, but this is the examination. See, here's the thing about walls. Our walls get torn down. There are times that you and I will have an enemy that comes against us, and they tear down walls in our life. And it is up to you and I to rebuild those walls. God will do it through us, but it's up to you and I to rebuild those walls. But the very first thing we've got to do is examine the damage. Can I get a witness right there? All right. And this is what Nehemiah is doing in chapter number 2, verse number 12. He goes out on a survey trip, if you will. In verse number 13, it says, "And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work." All right. Verse number 17, it says this. "Then said I unto them," all right, so as we're following along chronologically, he goes out on this mission, on this survey trip, this reconnaissance mission, if you will, and he examines what's going on and what it will take to rebuild the walls. No doubt he is formulating a game plan, and you and I will have to do that if we're going to build walls. We're going to have to formulate a game plan, a biblical game plan. And he did this by going out and surveying the land first. Then when we get to verse number 17, now it is time to get others on board. All right. And this is where he's at. He says, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." And so anyhow, Nehemiah, apparently God's hand is on him even in this meeting, because he is going before the high priest, the priests, the noble rulers, the nobles, the rulers, everybody. We'll talk about some of that here in a minute as well. But he goes before all of them and he says, "Hey, all the walls are torn down. All the gates are gone. The walls are torn down. Hey, let's build the walls back." Now, you know he wasn't in a Baptist church. I need somebody to help me right here. I'm going to tell you why. Because nobody said, "Well, I would do it, but I got to do this. And I would be there, but I promised somebody I'd do this." Is everybody all right? Preacher, I would be there, but I've already committed to going down to the ball field and watching somebody else's kids play. I need somebody to help me right there, all right? And so anyhow, Nehemiah was able, God's hand was upon him, and Nehemiah goes before all the people and he says, "Hey, let's do this thing." And they all say, "Let's rise up and build. Let us rise up and build." And so the Bible says they strengthened their hands for this good work. Now, we don't know really and truthfully what all that entails as far as them strengthening their hands. But what we do know is that they went to work. And that's what this strengthening of hands means, all right? So if we're going to build walls back, and some of us, come on now, I need you to help me. If maybe this is one of your first Wednesday nights here as far as in this series, we are talking about walls that get built or get broken down in our own life. How we allow maybe the enemy to come into our lives, come into our homes, come into our families, come into our relationships, come into our businesses, come into whatever situation you have, and allow the enemy to tear down some things that God had built up. But we've all got them. Can I get a witness right there? We've all got them. Don't think that you're a bad person because there's a wall that's been torn down in your life. Don't think you're a bad person because there's a gate that's been burned with fire in your life. The point is, and what we're trying to get to in this, is let's build it back. I don't want to dwell on what's happened. Let's build it back. And thank God you and I have an interceder, and I need somebody to hear me right here. He ain't a priest that puts on his pants just like you and I, all right? You and I can go to the high priest. We can go to Jesus Christ. You don't have to come and confess nothing to me. And we can build back, And unfortunately, well, I ain't going to say all that. But anyhow, we can build back better. I was trying to avoid saying that, all right? All right, so let's take a look at it. The examination, all right? The examination revealed the carnage or revealed the destruction that had gone on. And you have to face this in your life. I think this is something that many people live in denial. Somebody help me right here. If we're going to tell a story about our life, we leave out all the bad things. I mean, we ain't going to tell you all the bad things that happened. Here's how we tell a story. Is everybody with me? This is just something I thought of, all right, just now. All right, so we'll tell them, hey, I played on the national championship football team back in X amount of years or whatever. But what you failed to tell everybody was you was on the bench. Is everybody all right? Because we'll tell things to make it sound like everything's been good in our lives, all right? If you don't believe that, let's get on Facebook. Let's get on social media. You don't ever hear somebody say, I'm an idiot. Well, sometimes you do. But anyhow, sometimes it's inferred, all right? But anyhow, they'll tell you the best parts of their life. I remember I had a guy call me, a preacher call me, and he knew a family in our church. And he calls me and he says, preacher, what happened? They got a divorce. I said, what? I said, the last time I thought, they were the greatest couple in the world. Why? Because on social media, we put out a facade about our lives. And we try to convince everybody in the world that everything is great. All right? And so me and my wife, now we have a perfect marriage. Y'all can tell when the way that we talk and the way that we interact with one another. And she would never say anything mean about me or anything of that nature. But she does keep me from saying things on Facebook, all right? We call her the Holy Ghost tour around here. But if we're really serious about building back walls in our life, then we have to be real honest about the damage that's been caused by it. We have to be real honest about it. And to do that, we're going to have to examine our lives. We're going to have to examine the walls around our lives. And so we see the examination. It revealed the carnage, but it also rekindled the passion. And what I mean by this is Nehemiah, if you'll remember, if you go back in verse number one or chapter number one, he was burdened to tears over Jerusalem. 4 months has transpired. He's finally got an okay from the king to go build the journey, however long that took. All of those things took place and everything else. And now Nehemiah is there. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Come on, y'all help me right here. Sometimes our passion gets a little, it wanes a little. Can I get a witness? It's kind of like when you start dating, it's fireworks. Why are y'all getting quiet on me? And then when you get married after about 5 years, it's like, I need somebody to help me. I seen something on social media. I don't remember where it was at. But it was this girl and she's crying and she calling her mama. And she calls her mama and she says, Mama, I need you to come pick me up. And her mama's like, well, how was the honeymoon? And she's like, it was great, but I need you to come get me. And she says, why? What has happened? And she said, he started using four-letter words that I ain't never heard before. And she said, good Lord, is he abusing you? What did he say? And she said, he said stuff like cook. And... Hey, man, I got so tickled at that. I got Michelle in there. I said, you got to see this. She's just in tears. He said things like, I'm supposed to cook. And I'm so, anyhow, let's move on. So we go through the examination and it rekindles. Not only does it reveal the carnage, but it rekindles our passion. Nehemiah was inspired. You know, when you see something in your life and you come to terms with it and you're honest with it, and then you see that God will help you build that back up. I need somebody to hear me right here. Man, I'm going to tell you what. It will rejuvenate your life. Because we live in a society that wants to see your walls broken down. We live in a society and we live amongst people that want to see you beat down. But when you get a good glimpse of God and realize that God doesn't want that for your life, God wants you to be safe. He wants you to be secure. He wants you to have some walls that are safe and secure. When you realize that God wants to rebuild, reinvest in your life, there ain't nothing like it. And so we see the examination that Nehemiah went through. But then we see the employment that he... Nehemiah can't do this alone. Everybody look at me now. This is going to hurt. But you can't do this alone. And you can't build these walls back all by yourself. And so God has put people in our life. I do a devotion in the mornings, and I sent out one this morning, and I really didn't intend for it to be lined up with what we're talking about tonight as far as this aspect goes, but I guess it was on my mind, and it just kind of come out. But the fact is, I was talking about when I get up in the morning, my hands, my granny had bad arthritis, and apparently I've got it from her. And so when I get up in the morning, I can barely move my hands. It takes me a while to get them to work and everything. And anyhow, I was thinking this morning when I got up to do my devotion and everything, I was thinking, man, what if I didn't have thumbs? I need somebody to help me. That's a little old thing. I need, right? But could you imagine going through life without a thumb? Jesse, on an excavator, talk to me. I mean, we were talking about it the other day, and Jesse said, man, the only thing, bad thing about that thing is it doesn't have a thumb on it. Doesn't have that, right? Because we need, anywhere, we need that, all right? Amen. Don't have that thumb, it gets real hard picking up things, right? And so we need that thumb. Well, then I took that thing and I related it to the church. The fact of the matter is we're part of the body, and maybe some of us is a thumb, but if you're not here, it makes it harder on everybody else because we can't pick up and do things that we need to do. Is everybody with me? And so in this, when we're understanding building walls, you need to understand this. It's going to take more than just you to do it. You're going to need people, and God is going to put people in your life. God's already given you a good wife, maybe. God's already given you a good husband, maybe. God's already given you good kids and good friends. And now God's given you a good church, and the church is there to help you build back the walls that have been torn down in your life. If you look at their employment, I want you to look at this. This is cool to me, all right? The diversity of this employment. If you go through chapter number 3, and we're not going to do it, but if you go through chapter number 3 in verse number 1, we find out that the high priest and the priest were working on the wall. Now, that don't seem like, y'all help me right here, that don't seem like the kind of work that a high priest and a priest would be good at is building a wall. But yet, they were involved in it. Is everybody with me? That you see that in verse number 1. Verse number 8, verse number 31, and verse number 32, we're told about goldsmiths that was helping in chapter number 3 to build the wall. That doesn't seem like a goldsmith have a whole lot of, y'all help me, a whole lot of input in building a stone wall. But yet the goldsmiths, we're told the goldsmiths were involved in it. We're told that in verse number 8, let's see how it's worded, one of the apothecaries. That was a perfumer. What you reckon he was doing? This is the guy, he's the one that mixes up perfume. And they're like, hey, I need you to carry that load of bricks over here. I need somebody to help me. I'm just thinking out loud. There were daughters involved. You go through that passage of scripture in chapter number 3. Let me just read a couple of verses to kind of get you in it. But it says this in verse number 2, and next unto him, we're talking about the high priest, it says, and next unto him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zakurah, the son of Imri. All right? But the fish gate did the sons of Hassanah. Build, who also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof, and next unto them repaired Merimoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Kaz, and the next unto them Meshulam, the son of, y'all get it? See why I'm not reading chapter number 3? All right, the point I'm trying to make here is that the sons were building and the daughters. All right. If we go down, the daughters are found in, let's see, verse number 12. It says, and next unto him repaired Shallum, the son of Lohesh, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. So the diversity, we see high priests, we see priests, we see goldsmiths, we see perfumers, we see daughters, we see sons, we see rulers. In verse number 9, verse number 12, verse 16, 17, 18, and 19, we see different rulers that were involved in this. We see priests again, not the high priest, but regular priests in verse number 22 and in verse number 28. In verse number 29, we see a keeper of the gate or a guard, if you will. And then we see in verses 31 and 32, merchants. What are you trying to say, preacher? What I'm trying to tell you is that everybody, no matter their capability, no matter their talent level, was used for the purpose of building the walls. A lot of times we only want to deal with somebody that's gone through what we have gone through. But God, is everybody with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? These men, the goldsmith, what does he have to offer when it comes to laying brick? I'm going to go ahead and help you out with that. Nothing, all right? What does the perfumer have to offer when it comes to laying brick or carrying stone or whatever? Nothing. What do the daughters have? What are the sons that ain't even trained? I mean, do you understand? The priests, I'm just going to be honest with you. They killed stuff. The high priest, he made sure that the priests were doing their job and he made the offering to the Lord, but yet all of them were working together for the purpose of building the wall, even though they might have been sitting in church and saying, well, I can't do that, preacher, or I can't do this, preacher. What the preacher's trying to tell us tonight is it doesn't matter what your abilities is. If you will make yourself available to God, he will use you to build walls back. And so it wasn't based on their ability, it was based on their availability. And they got involved in the work. It did not matter that they wasn't a master bricklayer or whatever, or this. They didn't have a business license, and they didn't have a construction company. None of that mattered. They strengthened their hands for the work and said, God, here I am. Use me. And so here's what I'm getting at, not only for our lives, but also for our church, also for our community. If we're going to build walls, then we're all going to have to come together. We're all going to have to come together. Say, preacher, but I ain't never done this, or I've never done that, or I've never taught a Sunday school class, or I've never sang in the choir. I've never been a greeter and been all a people person going and shaking hands and all these other things. But yet, all of that, hey, listen, if you will make yourself available, ain't no telling what God will do with you. Like people sitting in here that said, and myself included, that said, I'll never preach. I remember God called me to preach. Why? I didn't want to preach. But God, I made myself available, and that's exactly what God did. Is everybody all right? So we see the employment. We see their diversity, and we see their capability. Then number three, we see their effort. So we see their examination. They go out. You have to examine the damage. Then you have to employ some folks to help you because you're not going to be able to do it on your own. And then number three, you're going to have to put forth some effort. Now, how does that work? I need everybody, look up here, all right? First off, it's going to start with your attitude. Is everybody all right? So if we go back to chapter number 2, and in chapter number 2, in verse number 18, in verse number 18, it says, then I told them of my hand, or of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. That's attitude. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it on this side. That's attitude. Because most people, I don't really want, is everybody all right? I don't really want to do that. Hey, let's anybody that can come, we're going to put out some rubber mulch out there in the playground. Oh, preacher, I would come. But, preacher, I'd love to be there, but everybody, don't look at me like that. Hey, y'all put a smile on your face. Everybody smile, because if you don't, we'll all know who didn't come, all right? Everybody smile, all right? Now, we had plenty of people out there, because y'all, I mean, there was a ton of people that come out there and helped out with that whole deal. And I say thank you, man. You was a blessing to our church, and I appreciate it. We did it in no time flat. It was awesome, all right? But oftentimes in our lives, we take a bad attitude when anything is asked of us. We get a bad attitude with God. God, I'm going to need you to pay this bill. God says, you got to go work. And I'm not God. Hey, I played the lottery last week and you didn't let me win it. It's all right. I'll move on. All right. Their attitude. You have to have the right attitude. See, once you examine what's been torn down, and once you employ and get some people around you that'll help you build and strengthen you and encourage you, you got to have the right attitude. Because people ain't going to come to work if you ain't putting forth the effort. People ain't going to jump in and get on board and help you if you won't put forth the effort, if you won't have the right attitude. That's like coming down to the altar and saying, man, I need God to take this away from me. And you get some people around you. You employ some people to pray for you. And then you run back out there and you run right back into the same thing that's been tearing walls down in your life. You got to have the right attitude. They said, let us rise up and build. And then the Bible says this, so they strengthen their hands for this good work. It goes from an attitude to action. See, effort starts with an attitude and then it rolls right into an action. It's time to put feet to your faith. Is everybody all right? It's time to go to work. This is good. See, you didn't want to miss this. We see they had the right attitude. We see they went into action. Boy, I'm enjoying this. But their approach, how did they go about doing it? I love this part of it. They employed families. Go through that scripture in chapter number 3, and it's the son of this, the son of this, the son of this. And it's all families. All of them are named. They're families. God recorded in scripture for us in Nehemiah chapter number 3, and he said, all these walls were built by family. The son of so-and-so, the daughter of so-and-so, the son of this one, the son of... All of it is showing us that God uses families to build walls. Stay with me. God uses, you want the walls of the church to be built, and I ain't talking about the physical walls. I hope you understand we're talking about spiritual walls. He uses the families in the church to do it. That's why it's so important that you and I are in our place. Why? I'm going to share it. Is everybody okay? They start at their house. See, it's the families that build the wall, but they start at their house. Listen to this. In verse number 10, the Bible says, and next unto them repaired, that word is actually, when you, can you get verse number 10 of chapter 3? This word is actually pronounced like Yedea or whatever, but it's, we're going to call it Jediah. Is everybody all right? All right. So I'm telling you, it's rough. Now, next unto them repaired Jediah, the son of Harumaph, even over against his house. Does everybody see that? What that's saying is that they worked on the wall outside of their front door. The families are who built the wall. But in the approach, he used families, but he strategically had them work on the wall right in front of their house. See, if the house isn't strong, oh my goodness. If the home isn't strong, then you won't build very many walls when it comes to a family. And so he starts out at the house, and we see this in verse number 10. As we move through the scripture, we see, I didn't write these things down. I think I wrote them on a piece of paper, and I didn't write the verses down. Let's see, verse number 23, I think. All right, yes. And after him repaired Benjamin and Hashub over against their house. Does everybody see that word? Against their house, that means in front of their house. After him repaired Azariah, the son of that dude, the son of Anani, by his house. Is everybody with me? As we move through scripture, you will see this terminology over and over again. Verse number 29, after them repaired Zadok, the son of Immer, against his house. After him repaired, verse number 30, and after him repaired Hanani, the son of Shalemiah, and Hanan, the sixth son of Zaleph. Another piece, after him repaired Meshulam, the son of Barakah, over against his chamber. Each one of these names, as you go through these verses and you see this term, against their house or against their chamber, against his chamber, it is literally meaning, the meaning of it is, as they worked on the wall in front of their house. That is how this wall was built in 52 days. All the gate, the walls, everything went up in 52 days. Why? Because the people had a mind to work. It started with the families, and the families built the walls back in front of their homes. In other words, it was something that was valuable to them. It was worth it. Is everybody with me? I wish I had time to break this down, there's several men that are mentioned here. Jedi, I've already read in verse number 10, but his name means he who praises or he who calls on God. If our house is going to be strong, we're going to have to call on God. Benjamin is mentioned. His name means the son of my right hand, which means that he is a protector, if you will. If our houses are going to be strong, we're going to have to protect our houses from the enemies. Hashub, his name means considerate of the cost. In other words, we got a lot of people that are running around and a lot of families that aren't calculating the cost. Let me give you an example. We put everything in the world in front of God and then wonder why everything in our life is falling apart. It's because we haven't been considerate of the cost. If you understand how good God is to your family, then it's not real hard to serve God, and it's not real hard to love on God. It's not real hard to call on God. It's not real hard to praise God. Is everybody with me? And so we have to be considerate of the cost. Azariah means Jehovah help me. I like that one. Hey, I think for a home to be strong, it has to be a grateful home. One that recognizes that God is our help. The priests, of course, they're not named here, and you can't give a meaning for the name priest, but the priests were men that served God. I believe that a house that is strong will have men in it that serve God. Zadok, it means righteous or just. That means right by other men. Can I say this? A house that is strong is a house of integrity. And lastly, Meshulam, he means friendly. A house that is strong. His name means friend, and it literally means to be at peace. I need somebody to help me right here. A lot of our homes ain't at peace because we haven't practiced the things above that. So we see the examination, we see the employment, we see the effort, and lastly, we see the exceptions. See, the fact of the matter is that no matter how much and how burdened you are for building the wall, you're going to have people that don't want nothing to do with it. Stay with me. Verse number 5 of chapter number 3 says, and next unto them the Tekoites repaired but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. Go back into chapter number 2 and in verse number 19 and verse number 20, not only do we see the nobles of the Keoites, but in chapter number 2, we see the enemy of the people, Sanballat and the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian. They laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, "What is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king?" Now listen, I know that we've heard about the enemy more than once in this series, but what you need to understand this, the whole time you're building walls, the enemy is going to be coming against you. And some of you have started a work over the last 3 weeks. You said, "Preacher, there's some walls that I need to strengthen in my own life." That word repair, by the way, every time you see in chapter number 3 the word repair in the Hebrew, it literally means strengthen. So they repaired the wall is strengthening the wall, strengthening the wall, strengthening the wall. And you and I, listen to me, when you go and you start strengthening walls in your life, go ahead and make a note of it. Preacher told you, the enemy is going to come against you. And there are going to be people in your life like the nobles in chapter number 3 that should have helped you along the way, but refuse to put their necks to the work of the Lord. The fact of the matter is, everybody look at me. Not everybody that's in your circle right now is going to be with you on the other side of it. That's a hard pill to swallow. We don't take rejection. I don't. None of us do. But the fact of the matter is not you can't take everybody with you on your journey. As God's rebuilding the walls in your life and strengthening the walls of your life, you're going to find out there's some people that don't want to see your walls strengthened. And they're not going to get involved. They're not going to help, and they'll fade away. Let me say this about the Tekoites, because I didn't put this in my sermon, but if you read chapter number 3, and I have read it 20 times over the last few. All right, if you'll read it, the Tekoites, the Bible talks about these men, all these people that were building. The Tekoites, they started this thing. They were in the early part of chapter number 3. But if you'll continue to read at the end of chapter number 3, when they get finished doing this part, the Bible says that they moved and started building something else. That's not said of any other group. Their nobles didn't get involved. But we can't talk bad about the Tekoites because they did their part and some. And so listen to this. Is everybody all right? Not everybody who claims to be an authority in your life is going to be with you on the other side. That doesn't mean that we stop building walls. Amen. I hope that you're getting help out of this. I hope you understand that God wants, hey, listen, the whole purpose of Nehemiah having a burden to build these walls back was because the thieves were coming in. They were taking what they want. They were stealing. John chapter number 10 says, "The thief cometh but to steal," or "to kill and to steal." Let me tell you something. If your walls ain't up, he'll constantly visit your house and he'll steal from you. He'll take from you with the intentions of killing you. But John chapter number 10 doesn't end there. Verse number 10 doesn't end there. Jesus said, "But I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly." God wants to do some great things in your life, but you're going to have to deal with those. This is another little nugget. I'm done. I promise. I'm done. This is good. Don't say, "Okay, he's done. I'm done. I don't need to listen to this." This is good. You go through chapter number 3, they did work on the walls outside their house. But the very first thing that they started with was the gates. See, the gates were the easiest points of access. They was the easiest places for the enemy to come in and take as much as they want. So they started with the gates. Everybody look at me. You and I have an eye gate that we need to build up and make sure we're not letting the wrong thing an ear gate that we need to build. Is everybody with me? We need to make sure that it's protected where we don't let just anything come in. Right? And so let me encourage you. This is a great study. Continue to come back. It ain't going to do nothing but get better, all right? And I hope that you are getting some help. I'm hoping that at the end of this thing, you'll have built back some walls that maybe the enemy has taken from you and torn down. And I know it has in my life. I know that over and over again, I have made mistakes and I have allowed the enemy to break down some walls that God had begun to work in my life. And man, I'm telling you, if you don't recognize it, if you don't evaluate it, if you don't examine it, the next thing you know, you'll wake up, listen to me, you'll wake up 2-3 years from now going, why did I wait so long? Why have I lived so miserable for the last 2 or 3 years when God wanted to help me the whole time? God was saying, I'll do it. If you'll put forth the effort, get an attitude, take some action, I will help you build those walls back. But yet we've squandered it away because we've never gone to the point of examination. So let me encourage you today, as Dalton's coming to the piano for us, he's going to play on the piano. We'll have an invitation. And this is the invitation. Won't you come and ask God to examine your life? Won't you and God get alone? Maybe look at some of the things that the enemy has taken from you. Maybe your joy has been taken. He's broke down some walls and he stole your joy. There was a time that you went through life and you wasn't so burdened. You had joy. But life's come at you, it's come at you hard, and the enemy has stole that from you. Peace. Man, maybe you're tormented by a past mistake. Maybe you're tormented by a situation that was beyond your control. The enemy has taken that peace and he's taken it from you. Let me encourage you. Hey, a wall has to be built back up. You need that peace. You need that joy. You need that love. Man, so many people. They're tormented by a decision or something that happened in their life, and it causes them anger, and that anger comes out on others. Let's build some walls. God, I'm giving this to you. God, I want you to build a wall. I'm coming up here and putting forth the effort. God, I'm going to have the right attitude, and I'm going to defeat this bitterness in my life. I'm going to defeat this sadness and these things that are going on. I feel like my joy has been stolen. But God wants you to have life. He wants you to have it more abundantly. So let me encourage you. Find your place around the altar. Let's build some walls back. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to come to church. Lord, to open up your word, to learn from it. Lord, to take an Old Testament passage of Scripture, Lord, something that happened thousands of years ago, but Lord, to see it apply to our life, and Lord, and know that God, just as you wanted and allowed Nehemiah to build back the walls of Jerusalem after they'd been destroyed by the Babylonian Empire, God, you want those same walls built in our lives spiritually. God, that you'll help us. God, you'll give us the strength. You'll strengthen our hands for the work. Lord, if we'll have the right attitude, we'll have the right mindset. Lord, we haven't gotten there yet, but in chapter 4, the Bible tells us that the people had a mind to work. God, I pray, Lord, that we would take that attitude. Lord, we'd put it into our own lives. And Lord, that we'd make effort, Lord, to build walls in our lives, God. To get our peace back, to get our joy back. Lord, to get the bitterness out, the anger. Lord, live life abundantly. Lord, I'm thankful for everybody that come tonight, Lord, to put the sacrifice in to be here. Lord, I pray for those that are on the altar praying, those that are in their seats praying. God, I ask you to answer their prayers. Lord, I beg you in the name of Jesus, Lord, show them as we sing tonight, Lord, that your promises are true and, Lord, that you'll never fail us. Lord, tonight, Lord, I pray for a few moments, Lord, at some point in our night before we go to sleep, we get along with you. Lord, just love on you for a little bit, not asking anything from you.